Good morning. How's everybody this morning? All right. Come on in. Find a place. So I have several announcements this morning. So hopefully you have a bulletin that you can follow along with and be able to be apprised of things that are going on. So if you have a bulletin, take it out. So right after our morning service, we are going to have a get-together at the Schofields, and there's a reason for that, because we have some fella named Jeremy that showed up from some place called Florida, and so we want to throw a big shindig for him. So you are invited to come to Schofields. You have the time. There you have what to bring aside to be able to share. There's a main dish or two that's going to be provided, but bring aside. It's supposed to be 96 degrees today, so bring a towel and a swimsuit because the pool will be open.
Yes.
All right. Okay. The address is there. If you have any other questions, see Jared or Christy, and they'll be happy to be able to answer those questions for you. By the way, not only is Jeremy here, but his parents are here. And so we are very blessed. They're sitting up here by Jeremy. And so for those of you who don't know, Jeremy and his wife Lori were longtime members here or attenders here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Jeremy was a deacon and then decided that he didn't like us anymore and moved to Florida. And so he comes back every so often just to try to make things right. But no, it's always good to have him here. It's always good to see him. And so we're disappointed Lori's not here, right? But anyway, he'll take greetings from us back to Lori, right? You will do that? Okay. All right. So don't forget, daily devotional books are out on the table in the foyer, on the information table. Men's breakfast this coming Saturday here at Lake Hazel Bible Church at 8 a.m. After the men's breakfast, we're going to have a cornhole tournament. So hopefully you've been practicing for that. Hopefully you found a partner. If not, we'll partner you up with somebody to be able to come and just be able to enjoy that time as well. Also that same day, ladies, you have coffee connection. You have information about that in the bulletin. So please make sure that you pay close attention to that. A couple other things that are on the information table this morning. Many of you know that the Richies are going to be headed to Uganda next Monday, a week from tomorrow. And so they've put together a prayer calendar. Whoops. Not to be dropped on the floor, but for you to be able to take and be able to use to pray while they are ministering in Uganda. So these are out on the information table. So please go by and pick one up and take it. If you want to pick one up for work, if you want to pick one up for your home, there are plenty of those there. If you have any questions as you read this, make sure that you get those questions answered from Brian and Jennifer or the girls before they leave. Also out on the information table, we have been making some changes around here. You probably notice we have some different dispensers around and different kinds of things. So Michael has cleaned out the custodian closet in the storeroom. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't think we need anymore. So it's all been moved. If you go down the hallway to the back hallway, to the back classroom will be the farthest classroom on the left as you go down the back hallway. All of that stuff has been moved there. It's been put on tables, and it's on display back there. This is a list of the things that are back there. So you can go and take whatever it is that's back there that's part of this list. Don't take the cabinets. Don't take, don't take the write and rub boards. Don't take the chairs and the tables because we'll need them, okay? But anyway, take whatever you see there that you might like to have. It is for yours. Anything that isn't taken after service this morning, after we close up after the service, anything that isn't taken is going to get hauled off. So this is for you to be able to go by, take a look, see what it is that you want, load it up, take it home with you. Okay? You can use this as a guide, or you can just go back there and go, oh, a free garage sale. Hey, right? And just take whatever you want. Any questions about this? Okay? All right. Great. If you have any questions, see me or Michael, and we'll try to answer those questions for you. All right. Well, today, we have a birthday. It's actually his birthday tomorrow, but we're going to celebrate today. What do you think? Huh? So, William, come on up here and let's sing happy
William's
birthday.
Face. So priceless. William was like, oh.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear William. Happy birthday to you.
When you see him, when you see him after the service individually, make sure that you embarrass him by telling him happy birthday. Don't ask him how old he is. Just, what? 29.
Again?
Plus tax. Okay? All right. You ready to sing?
Yeah.
Ready to worship?
Come on.
Ready to show God you love him? Let's do it.
Would y'all stand with me?
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come due, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come due, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Thank you, Jesus, for being the way, the truth, and the life today. We love you.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. And see what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Oh, Hero of Heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh, God,
you have done great things. Faithful through every storm, you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things, you've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on, he's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of all we have to give. Lord, we praise you this morning. Thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done. You have done great things, and you are continuing to work and do great things. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. You're the way, the truth, and the life, and you are worthy of all our praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated this morning? As we continue, God is good, amen? We're going to sing a classic song. You all know this song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Your love came first before I knew the cross you carried. Now free at last, I'll freely give as I've been given. For everything you've done,
and everything to come. I will praise you, live to glorify your name. Forever anthem your acclaim. Lord, I will sing your praise. Fall in honest worship until all I am breaks in reverence at your feet. For everything you've done and everything sing your praise. I will praise you in the promise and the pain. For as long as life remains, still I will sing your praise. First and last, the Alpha and Omega, God, the great I Am, who was and is to come, Almighty One, Blessed Father, Son, and Spirit, God Emmanuel is with us, here and now and then forever. Sing your praise. I will praise you in the promise and the pain. For as long as life remains, Lord, I will sing. Sing your praise.
Lord, our life is lived. May it be lived for you alone. In honest worship, Lord, because you're worth everything we have to give. Every breath, every action, every thought. Lord, we want to praise you, not just in word, but in deed. With all that we are. And you're worthy.
I will praise you, live to glorify your name. Forever anthem your acclaim. Lord, I will sing your praise
with words, with my life.
I will praise you. the promise and the pain. For as long as life remains, still I will sing your praise. Yes, I will sing your praise.
As we take this morning's offering and sing this song called Lift My Life Up, it's much like the song we just sang. We can sing about how great God is all day long, but where the rubber meets the road is in your daily life. And so God is asking us to live for him. And when this plate comes around in front of you, please don't be mistaken. The church does not need you to give money. God is asking you to worship him. And if you want to worship with giving, give. If you want to let go of the material things, let go. If you want to live your life for Jesus and put nothing in the plate, live your life for Jesus and put nothing in the plate today. Let's worship him. You brought me this far, so why would I question you now? You have provided, so why would I start to doubt? I've never been stranded, abandoned, or left here to die alone. So I'm giving you control. I lift my life up. I give it all in surrender. I lift my heart up. You can't have it forever. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I leave it in your hands. I lift my life up. Have your way in me. Peace is a river, then let it sweep over me. If I'm under fire, I know it's refining me. When I hear you calling out, I'll follow now wherever the road may go. I know you're leading me home. I lift my life up. I give it all in surrender. I lift my heart up. You can have it forever. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I leave it in your hands. I lift my life up. Have your way. I give it all in surrender. I lift my heart up. Oh, take my life. I lift my life up. I give it all in surrender. I lift my heart up. You can have it forever. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I leave it in your hands. I lift my life up. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way.
take my life and let it be all for you.
Well, worship team, the Holy Spirit did it again. Another Sunday where the songs go fairly well with the message. Isn't God good? Aren't you just glad when you come to church and you realize that, you know what? We're not in charge. God is. I just love that. I just think that is great. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 14. We're moving forward in our study of the book of Joshua. Trust. What a wonderful biblical truth. Trust. Trust is the spiritual key that opens up the storehouse of the blessings of God. Trust is what brings the promise. Am I on? Okay. All right. Trust is what brings the promises of God into our possession, making them both a personal and practical reality. Now, there's an effective way to define biblical trust. You might want to pay attention to this. Trust is acting like a thing is so when it is not so, so that it will be so. Did y'all catch that? Trust is acting like a thing is so when it is not so, so that it will be so. You might be going, what in the world, Pastor Sam, are you talking about? Pay attention. We'll get there. And Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. Being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So this morning, as you sit here, are you fully convinced that God will do what he has promised? You know, his word is chock full of promises. Some of those promises were given directly to the nation of Israel. Some of those promises were given directly to us as believers. Some of those promises that were given to the nation of Israel directly, indirectly, are also promises that have been given to us who believe in Jesus as Savior. And so, are you convinced this morning that God will do what he has promised? Or do you live your lives in such a way that it's kind of like, well, I hope so. Well, maybe he will, and then maybe he won't. No, we're going to find out this morning that what God has promised, he will do. But here's the kicker. He will do it in his own way, in his own time, in accordance with his own will. He won't do it your way. He won't do it in your time. He won't do it in the way that you think he ought to do it. He will do it in accordance with his will, in his time, in his way. Isn't that good to know? And so we're going to see where sometimes those promises that God has given to us and that we know we should claim as ours might take a little bit of time for those to really come to fruition and fulfillment in our lives. We're going to see that in a man named Caleb. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, was a man who had the boldness to believe that God had promised, and God would act as though it was so, even when it was not yet so. Caleb did not allow visible circumstances to keep him from declaring God's promise as fact. Caleb lived his life as though he already possessed what God had promised him, even though Caleb did not see the reality of this promise for 45 years after the promise was given. Now, how many of you would have the patience to be able to wait 45 years for a promise to be delivered on? Probably not. I tell people all the time that we as human beings, we have more patience than we know what to do with, right? Wrong. As human beings, we don't have any patience. We want what we wanted yesterday or the day before or a week ago or a year ago. We don't have any patience. But get this, this fellow named Caleb waited 45 years for the promise that God had made to him to be fulfilled, and he never, ever, ever questioned that promise was going to become a reality. Sometimes we hear the words, the promises of God from his word, from preachers or Bible teachers, or we read it ourselves and we go, well, I'm still waiting for that. Maybe God doesn't really keep his promises. No! God always keeps his promises. He's never broken a promise yet. It's not in his character to do that. Because if he was to break a promise, that would make him a what? A liar. And God does not lie. Now, it may not be in your time, it may not be in your way, it may not be in your will, but it will always be in his time. It will always be in his way. It will always be in his will for him to be able to what? Make good on the promises that he has made. How could Caleb be this kind of person? Well, Caleb was a man who trusted God. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. So here's the first point. Caleb trusted God's promise. Hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. Follow along as I read these verses. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" God. In verse 8, Caleb said, now remember the story, right? Caleb was sent out with 11 other spies from Israel to be able to go across the Jordan River to be able to spy out the land of Canaan. Remember, Moses had said, listen, you come back and you give me the report. So they went into the land of Canaan and they were there for a little bit of time, and then they came back across the Jordan River and they came to where the Israelites were camped at, and they gave their report. And Caleb, along with Joshua, said, listen, God's given us this land. He's promised it to us. He's promised it to our forefathers. And so it's our land. So we can go in and we can take it. The other 10 said, yeah, no, we can't do that. There are giants in that land. There's enemies in that land. There are fortified cities in that land. There's no way we can go in there and that we can claim that land as our own. We can't go in and reclaim it. It's just too difficult. It's just too hard for us to even think that we could do that. And what does Caleb say here in this conversation with Joshua? 45 years later, he said, listen, when the others gave that report, the others of our brothers told the nation of Israel, told Moses the leader, this was the way that it was. The people's heart, what? Melted. They were excited. Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in and let's take it. God is with us. This is the land he has for us. He's promised this land to us and to our forefathers. He's not going to go back on his promise. But 10 of the other guys said, yeah, we can't do that. And the heart of the nation of Israel melted. Now, why did their heart melt? Remember, for 430 years, remember our study of the book of Exodus? 430 years, they were in Egypt. For most of those 430 years, they were slaves to the Egyptian rulers. The people of Egypt didn't do the work. Who did the work? The Israelites. They finally cried out, and God said, okay, I hear your cry. And he brought them out of the nation of Israel. Now they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They're looking forward to the prospect of moving back into the land of Canaan that had been promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses. They're excited about that. The spies go over. Two of them come back and say, yes, we can do this. God is with us. This is our land. 10 others said, ain't going to happen. Can't do that. And the nation of Israel, their heart melted. They were grieving. They were sad because of what was told to them. In other words, the men of Israel influenced the nation of Israel with their lack of what? Trust in God. So that they became disheartened and discouraged. You know what? As we're talking to people, and they're saying, you know what? I think God is wanting me to do this. I think God has this for me. And we go, yeah, no, don't think so. Well, I read this promise in the Bible, and I think this is what how God's gonna fulfill that promise in me. And we go, yeah, no, don't think so. You know what? We're just bringing discouragement to that person, just like these 10 spies did for the nation of Israel. This was a serious thing to God. And there's a key lesson here. Don't ever think that your words and life don't influence others. Don't ever think that your words and life don't influence others. Among the more than 3,000 Americans who have received the Congressional Medal of Honor, there is one father and son combination. The father won it for a single act of bravery in a crucial battle of the Civil War. By the time he retired in 1909, he was the ranking officer in the United States Army and one of the most famous soldiers of his era. But his son rose to greater fame. In 1941, he headed up the U.S. forces in the Philippines, and he led the gallant defense of the Bataan Peninsula and the island of Corregidor. Although the battles fought there ended in defeat, the bravery displayed by the Americans and this leader provided inspiration to thousands of soldiers and sailors and to millions of workers on the home front. This man's name was General Douglas MacArthur, and his father was Arthur MacArthur Jr. And no doubt the son's greatness can be traced in part to the influence given to him by his dad. Caleb, after 45 years of enduring the hardships of the desert and participating in the conquest of the land of Canaan, had not forgotten God's promise to him. Now Caleb, 45 years later, is ready to collect on what God had promised so many years before. You know, we as human beings, we have a tendency in our relationship to make promises to others. And many promises are made to us. Sadly, too many of those promises are broken on both ends of the equation. Do not let the broken promises of this world keep you from believing the promises of God, because God never breaks a promise. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, Peter says, according to his promise. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 tells us God is not a man that he should lie. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Joshua, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And God means exactly what he said. If God said it, he means it. And how do we know if God said it or not? He's given us his word. He's given us the truth of his word. He's given us the promises in his word. And he will not go back on his word. It may take a little while for his promises in his word to be fulfilled in your life and in my life the way that he chooses to have that fulfilled. But nonetheless, he never breaks a promise. Whatever you may be going through today, depend on the promises of God. They never fail. You might want to write this down. The promises of God will not fail because God never fails. God never fails. God never fails. You get it? So because God never fails, his promises will not fail. And Caleb was blessed. Caleb was blessed with the favor of God because of his history of trust in God. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30 says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8 says, if the Lord delights in us, Caleb says, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Caleb's trust in God never wavered. His trust in God's promises never, ever fell by the wayside. He never allowed himself to get discouraged. He said, listen, God has promised this land to us. That's why it's called the Promised Land. Okay? Because God had promised it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses. Now, some might call Caleb pretty foolish for talking this way, considering the challenges that Israel were facing. But Caleb was simply agreeing with God, with what God had already promised. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, catch this, which I am giving to the people of Israel. Every single one of those spies could have come back with the same report and said, you know what? God's given us this land. It doesn't matter what's in there. It doesn't matter who's in there. It doesn't matter the fortified cities. It doesn't matter the big, tall guys. We can take them. God promised us before we went into the land that what? He's giving us the land. Only two guys trusted that promise. Joshua and Caleb. Amazing, isn't it? And later, Moses reminded Israel of what God had promised them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23. Moses says he brought us out from there, meaning Egypt, that he might bring us in. Where? To this promised land, to the land of Canaan, and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. Here's an important question for us to consider this morning. How much do we really trust God? Oh, we sing about trust in him. We sing about trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. We sing, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his, what? Just to take him at his, oh, those are beautiful words to sing, aren't they? Aren't you so glad that some Sundays we come and we're able to sing that? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. But before we come and we sing that, we bring our discouragements with us because we don't trust the promises of God. When we leave this place after singing that hymn, after singing those beautiful words, we go home discouraged. We get in our cars, we get back into our daily routine, and we what? We don't trust him. We don't take him at his word. His word are full of the promises that he's given to us. Warren Wiersbe said, biblical trust is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Biblical trust is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Caleb said, listen, we've got nothing to fear. We don't have to live in fear. We can go in. We can take that land because God has given it to us. He's promised it to our forefathers. Moses, before we left Moses' side to be able to go into the promised land, said, this is the land that God is giving to us. We don't have to be afraid. Caleb was fearless due to his trust in God's promises. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. Caleb was not some sort of Hebrew Rambo who laughed in the face of certain doom, but his trust overshadowed any fear of circumstances and consequences that he might have had. Caleb already knew what the outcome of taking the land of Canaan would be, since God had already promised it to Israel. And we do not have to fear in our spiritual lives either. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, not of what? Fear, but of power and love and self-control based upon what? His promises. He's promised to give us that spirit of power and love and self-control, not fear. John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out what? Fear. It's time, friends. It's time, believers, that we quit living scared to death and start understanding that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We've got God's promises. We don't need fear. We've got God's promises. We don't need discouragement. We got God's promises. We don't need depression. We've got his promises. You know, if Caleb had allowed his fears to reign instead of his trust in God's promises, he would never have received such a wonderful inheritance from God. That brings us to the second point. The second point is this: Caleb trusted because God preserved his promise. Look at verses 10 and 11. Caleb says, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war, for going and coming." While Israel was wandering in the wilderness, Caleb was doing what? Waiting. You know, there might be those who are sitting around you who are wandering spiritually in some sort of worldly wilderness. That doesn't mean you have to follow them. You can wait. Wait for God to fulfill his promises that he has given to you, that he's given to me, that he's given to us as believers in his word. And Caleb's trust in God's promises did what? Kept him alive. So he had a goal, right? God's going to give me that promise. God's going to fulfill that promise. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he's going to give me that promise. And that kept him going so that God could make good on his promise, because God always keeps his promises. Caleb stayed alive, although he spent time behind enemy lines as a spy. Caleb stayed alive, although his own people threatened to stone him along with Joshua because they insisted upon going to battle to possess the land of Canaan in obedience to God. Caleb stayed alive, although he had walked for 45 years through a dry, barren desert loaded with dangers. Now remember, at this point, Caleb was 85 years old. Some of you can relate to that. You may be 85. You might be close to 85. You might be over 85. You might be a little younger than 85. You might think some days you are 85 because that's the way you feel. Okay? But Caleb is 85 years old, and he was not only strong spiritually, but he was strong in physical strength and stamina. Even though the fulfillment of the promise was assured, Caleb would still have to fight the enemies of Israel to take possession of his inheritance. And for that, he was going to need physical vitality. The wilderness journey had not been pleasant, but it had been spiritually productive. Caleb was about to exchange the promise of God for the reality of possession. What a sweet place that was for Caleb to be in, right? He's about ready to exchange the promise of God for the reality of possession. Listen to verse 12. He says, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day." Now your translation may say, Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." Either way, okay? Because remember, in Israel, mountains are only hills. Okay, they're not mountains like Bogus Basin, like Mount Rainier, like other mountains we might think of. They're just high places. So Caleb says, "Now, give me this hill country which the Lord spoke on that day." Can you hear Caleb saying, by saying this, can you hear him saying, "Bring it on, bring it on"? Whoa, this is an 85-year-old dude. And he's saying, "Bring it on, bring it on. I don't care if it's tall. I don't care if it's hilly. I don't care if it's got a bunch of rocks. I don't care if it's going to take forever to be able to get it to the place that I know that God wants me to take it to. But I'll tell you what, bring it on. Bring it on." How could he say that? Because he knew the promises of God. His trust wasn't in him. His trust wasn't in others. His trust wasn't in the circumstances around him. His trust was in who? God. And what did he say? Bring it on. When was the last time you said to God, bring it on? What? Maybe never. What? What are you afraid of? Where's your trust? Oh, Pastor, you know, I woke up this morning, and, you know, I just didn't feel well. And so, you know, I just kind of slogged through my... Wait, whoa! Why didn't you say, God, listen, I may not be strong, but you know what? Your promise says I can do all things through you who gives me strength. Bring it on. Bring it on. Oh, I might have got a bad report from the doctor, and you know, there's some things going on that I didn't realize were going on, and you know, I'm facing some new challenges. I don't know. Maybe this is the end for me. Maybe I can't do the things that I used to be able to do. No, this is the time when you say, I trust you, God. Bring it on. You and I together, we can do this. I love what Caleb says here. Bring it on. Bring it on. Now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke to on that day. There's no quit. Get that? There's no quit in Caleb. And there should be no quit in us. During the war between the states, a Union soldier from Ohio was shot in the arm during the Battle of Shiloh. His captain saw he was wounded and gave an order. The captain said, "Give me your gun, private, and get to the rear." The private handed over his rifle and ran toward the north, seeking safety. But after covering 200 or 300 yards, he came upon another skirmish. Then he ran east and into another part of the battle. Then he ran west, but encountered more fighting there. Finally, he ran back to the front lines, shouting, "Give me back my gun, Captain. There ain't no rear to this battle." What was this guy saying? I'm going to fight. Bring it on. No matter where I turn, bring it on. There's no quit in Caleb. Caleb says what? Give it here. Give it here. And there should be no quit in us. That brings us to the third point. Caleb trusted, and God presented what was promised. Pick it up in verse 12, and we're going to read down through verse 15. "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to the day of this writing, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest among the man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Caleb's strong trust in God's promise brought about the reality of personal possession. Caleb's declaration and his attitude was, bring it on. You want to see God do great things in your life? When you are discouraged, when circumstances seem to be overwhelming you, just say to God, bring it on. Bring it on. I think God likes to hear us say, bring it on. You and I, God, we've got this. That's what Caleb said. You and I got this. But what do? Yeah, we cower in fear. We cover up. We want to stay in bed and pull the covers up over our head. We want to just kind of slink around like we're, like, you know, nothing good has ever happened to us and isn't going to happen to us now. No, we need to say, bring it on. So when you walk out of here this morning in just a few moments, I want you to walk through those doors, and I want you to say, bring it on, God. I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour. I don't know what's going to happen in the rest of today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the days yet to come. But, God, bring this on, because you and I, we got it. We got it. I'm going to leave it up to you to decide whether or not you can do that or not. You see, Caleb was confident with God's promises for him. Are you? Caleb was thankful to God for sustaining his life and devoted his life wholeheartedly to God. Are you? Caleb fulfilled God's will and enjoyed the fulfillment of God's promises. Are you? Because when we do, When we take God at his word, when we trust him, when we are waiting for his promises that he's given to us in his word to be fulfilled, there are spiritual blessings that come into our lives. Trusting in God's promises brings spiritual blessings to our life. Let me just give you a handful. Brings a victorious life. Because God's already got the victory. You know what? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That wasn't a cry of defeat, folks. That was a cry of victory. That was a declaration that he had accomplished all that God had for him to accomplish for the salvation of mankind. Your salvation, my salvation, the salvation of the whole world. Trusting in God's promises brings a victorious life. It brings an abundant life. It brings a fruitful life. It brings a joyful life. It brings a restful life. And it brings a life of freedom. A life of freedom. You want to be free from the shackles of the unpleasant things of this world? You say to God, "Bring it on. I'm not afraid. I'm going to trust your promises because, God, you and I, we got this." Oh, let's be people like Caleb, who said, "You know what? I don't care how long it takes. I don't care when God chooses to do it. But as long as I have breath, I'm going to say to God, bring it on. Bring it on." Father, help us to be able to be like Caleb, to be able to trust in your promises, that we might be able to enjoy and appreciate the spiritual blessings you bring to our life, that victorious life, that abundant life, that fruitful life, that joyful life, that restful life, and a life of freedom. Father, thank you for letting us to be able to see this example from the life of this man who trusted you, who believed in you, who followed you, who served you, and who one day said, "Bring it on." For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? I'm kind of surprised you didn't bring this one up in your list of songs during the sermon.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Taken. shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Everything to God in prayer.